This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Hoops! You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio by the Ranger Things podcast, Gareth Dixon, and the now silent mobile phone, Julian Monaghan. You know,
calling me mobile phone? It's not nice.
You mean you miss a few games? You know, you can't get the first team call up. You know, you're waiting for a cup appearance. You get called up, and in the first 5 minutes, it's a sending off. It's not five minutes.
Well, it's Vinny Jones at Sheffield United. 4 seconds.
Julian. What's
Boom.
Going on?
I didn't grab anyone's
pre-match nerves or
put the phone down.
Yeah, why are you going back to down? It?
I wonder what's going on. Oh. You haven't got it on the screens tonight.
Oh, unbelievable.
Make
it's Amazon
up for
Prime.
The palace.
We can't get
on the
it.
Prime.
Unbelievable. We're here to talk about QPR though and what is going wrong at the minute. An absolute terrible run. Conceding goals left, right, and centre. We're going to be talking about the Forest game. 4-0. Gareth predicted slightly different on that one. Didn't come true because QPR were
You said
no-
clean sheet, didn't you?
Did I? Don't know. What are we talking about now?
I'm going to get it clipped up.
My dating.
We're here to talk about the Forest game, the Derby game, 1-1 on the weekend. More positive, a point there, especially actually when Derby, 5 successive home wins, 4 clean sheets. So that was a good point away at Pride Park. We're going to be speaking to Nicholas Tunney, QPR fan. Then we will be looking towards that Preston game. Dan from the Finney podcast will be joining us. We have to start with the bad news, the negative news. Gareth.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
What negative news? Julian's phone. Forest. Great, yeah.
Boring.
That wasn't boring. It's quite exciting, actually. Especially the last 10 minutes. I actually
it was all right for 81 minutes-ish.
It kind of was. I mean, the first goal set the tone, conceding from that corner. It was just poor defending. Lumley slipped over. Kane got monstered at the back post. The guy hadn't scored in, 3,000 games or something.
Lumley fall over. Did he fall over?
He did fall over, yeah. He looked more like Joanna Lumley exactly at that moment in Ab Fab.
I just saw Kane sort of...
You was probably on your phone, Julian. How did you miss that?
I was watching another game.
His phone went off, put him off. That's what happened. Now, we slipped over and, but it all came from... I mean, you can isolate that incident in one, but Leicester went and missed a header. I think he ran into Hall. Wallace covered him. Second half, we came undone by that because Wallace got sent off for covering Leicester again. That we lost a corner, Wallace went out for the corner and it kind of set a tone. It was just another poor goal and it was like, I think every time we concede a goal now, that clean sheet thing's over us. So it's like, oh, we've conceded a goal, the clean sheet thing's done. Oh, we conceded a goal. We conceded 2 goals in 9 games, whatever it was in a row. So that thing was always over us and that set the tone. And to be fair to Forrest, me and Julian were having a quick chat when he wasn't on his phone before the show about Forrest as a team and I thought they were very, very difficult to break down. They sat in and we didn't have enough about us. And in the last 10 minutes was just a shambles. Yeah. I mean, every
didn't
goal
help
was ridiculous.
We only playing one up front as well. Wells was very
and
quiet.
The wrong
it
one.
Was very quiet.
It was the wrong one to play up front. But yeah, it was poor defending for every single goal was a soft goal for championship level.
Yeah, it really was. You know, QPR conceding left, right and centre. As I said, 9 games out of 10 at the minute, they've conceded 2 or more. Julian, I don't even think it's fair to say it's a mini slump anymore. It is a slump of form, especially, you know, being back in 16th, you know, after the bright start, it wasn't really what QPR fans expected. I know they never got ahead of themselves. We've always said that on the show. But is it a little bit of Warburton being found out? Or what is seemingly going wrong here at this moment in time?
Well, a lot of, if you look at the Forest fans, it's kind of funny that we were playing them last week because they said, they warned us, it's coming. He, you know, plays the same way. He's very stubborn. He doesn't give up, try something different. The whole plan A, plan B, plan A harder, all that stuff. So a lot of tweets came out after that game saying, we warned you this was going to happen. And it is a bit worrying because we don't really have the players to do it. Last season, actually, you know, the same thing happened. But the player, after 4 games... We lost 7-0, 3-0, and we changed the system. Warburton is not going to change. He said it. He's come out and said, this is my system. I'm going to keep going with it. It's been a bit stubborn, but we don't really have the players to do it. Lumley looks really unconfident doing it. He's not very good with his feet. I don't think we've got the centre-backs to do it. So I kind of think he's got to change it because if he's really stubborn, it's going to backfire on him. And then, you know, there's already talk of him being fired. I think that's far too premature. But he should be start to play a bit more defensive. Otherwise, we're going to get caught out again and again.
Well, if he is stubborn and he won't change it and this form continues, those questions will arise, Gareth. But now it's got to the point where he's like, you know, it is the Championship roller coaster, ups and downs. But now it seems like it's gone a little bit further than that, if that's fair to say.
I'm not sure, because when you look at the league, I think everyone thinks it's Charlton's had a really good start to the season under Barrier. Yeah. They're actually below us now. Everyone thinks Millwall's going to get relegated. And then look at Millwall now, go over, you know, with Gary Rowett in charge. So the Championship can change. But again, we were speaking beforehand, aside from Leeds and West Brom, everybody's up there. You know, we have to mention Brentford doing quite well at times at the moment as well. But
we don't have to.
So it's out there now, isn't it? Podcast of the year, so you've got to mention it. But it's, that's how close the Championship is. Is it your Barnsley's at the bottom, your Luton's potentially getting dragged in there as well. But the rest of them, it's much of a muchness. And on the day how they did, you know, anyone could beat anyone. It's very, very cliched and said it a million times on the show. But you can't see, aside from West Brom and Leeds, anyone that really troubles you. I was impressed with Forest. I thought it was really hard to break them down. And what QPR were doing wasn't intelligent, wasn't incisive enough, and wasn't kind of progressive or passionate enough to get through them. They just sat in and we played into their hands perfectly. Conceding that soft goal, great. They sat off. Have the ball. 65% of the Forest call has said it. You'll have the ball. You probably won't. If you can't do nothing with it, then so what? Have it. Have it in your own half. And we didn't have enough. We didn't have any pace in the team to get in behind them. We didn't have the physicality of Hugel up front. So that was the one moment for me where I think Warburton probably didn't think enough about the game in hand and the opposition and just shuffled the pack a little bit for the sake of shuffling it.
Well, that is worrying that the Forest fans are calling it before the game happened. Maybe Warburton not changing his ways, you know, and knowing that teams can sort of predict what's going to happen and he doesn't adapt to that. I admit I was really predicting the worst going up to Derby. I know they had just previously lost to Fulham 3-0, but their home form, really Jekyll and Hyde, their home and away form, you know, I thought QPR off the back of this 4-0. But you were a bit more defensively solid, if I can say. It still conceded, but it was 1-1. It was a point. What did you make of this game? And it was completely different from the midweek one.
Yeah, I thought the changes, I think he got it right. I think he got Pugh in for, I don't know if he started. Has he started?
I don't think he started the season.
First start for Pugh, I think, or he hasn't started many, and it was a good choice. Chair did need a rest. Hugo up front on his own. And Bright Say Samuel for me was, you know, again, pardon the pun, but he was the bright spark for us. He played against a good fullback in Malone. He kept the ball. He was always a danger in behind. He won the penalty. And it was just something that we've been missing for a while, was just that kind of pace and that ability to, you know, keep possession of the ball in the opposition half. So it kind of all fell into place that day with the team selection, I think.
And Samuel's an odd one because he's been screaming to pull him off the bench, or we have for a while. I mean, the Forest game is the perfect example. You're down to 10 men and, you know, you need a guy with speed to be able to break and try and get something when you've got one less man. And he took Wells off. That was a really peculiar thing in the previous game. So it's good to see Bright Samuel get a start and play well. And last time he scored and then hasn't been back in the team since. So maybe now, you know, Warburton will think, actually, he's important to us. Mm. He kept the ball well. He broke their defence several times, got in behind them. So I think he's going to have a run in the team now.
Hope. It's a bit of a strange one with Bright, because you don't see the obvious reason why he's out the side. Obviously, he's trying to fit in probably too many players in those three behind. Or it's a bit of an issue for us when we play Wells and Hugel up front, because then you're going to have to lose two or three of those players in behind the chair. You're not going to drop Eze at the moment. So you've got Chair, Pugh, Bright, others in there as well, trying to get in that team, and you can't fit them all in, obviously. So
it's more for coming from the bench for me. The last few games, he could have been bringing him in for the last 20 minutes, and he hasn't, which has been odd. So
yeah.
And then he starts him in this game.
The Wells sub, I think, was due to fatigue from playing international duty in the Forest game, and I think Amos came off as well, and people were saying about that, and I think he hasn't played a lot of football. But I think, the substitutions have been a little bit at times questionable. And the lack of substitutions have been a little bit questionable. I think there was a game, I can't remember the home game, may have been the Borough game. We only made one sub. I couldn't fathom it. And I think Bright was the option that day as well. And I think, you know, I think him and Easy know each other from playing together as youngsters as well. And there seems to be a bit of a link up there. And, you know, those partnerships, they do make a big difference. And yeah, we were very good value for the point on the day. It wasn't the best game in the world, if I'm honest with you. They scored a really good free kick. We got the penalty and it could have gone either way. We had the bulk of the possession again. I think it was 60-40 type possession.
Yeah.
But they looked more dangerous on the counter attack than we did. We looked a little bit blunt at times, but you know, it could have gone either way. And I didn't expect it on the back of the Derby home form, especially.
Yeah.
5 wins on the bounce, wasn't it?
So yeah, 4 clean sheets as well in those 5 games. Terrific home form. It's interesting because doing the Derby County fan show on last night, Monday, they felt like they should have won the game. And, you know, you mentioned the counter-attacks. They said it could have gone either way, but they felt like they maybe could have nicked it, as do you maybe feel like you could have nicked it. Also, they want to talk about, the QPR pen, feeling it was a little bit soft.
I was discussing that with earlier, and I thought it was soft, personally. But obviously you don't see a lot of commentary around that when it's gone your way, because we've moaned a lot about the decisions this season. It was a strange one because the ball was going away. There was no reason for the defender to go in. And I thought Bright went down, so you kind of get the impression he must have got hit. But I didn't really see a lot of contact. But I only watched it a couple of times on the highlights. I didn't watch the game live. But it didn't look like a penalty to me.
The one bit of the game I missed, I did actually watch it live and I actually missed it completely.
I think
I was changing a nappy or something at the time.
Well, once again, we have had a tweet into the studio. We appreciate all of the tweets. You can tweet at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. This one again coming from Paul Cousins. Good evening to all. We played much better in the second half at Derby. Warburton's tactics seem to be his downfall. Is this a bit of mischief I'm getting from QPR at the minute with the Ainsworth rumour? But I have to be honest, the Championship is so competitive, the form's not worrying me, like you said, Gareth. But have we really progressed since Steve McLaren? Honest answer.
I think you have to say yes. We talked about it before, where the fixtures were a bit kind to us earlier in the season, but we were winning away, which we, you know, when you think about Hull and Stoke and where else have we won? I'm trying to remember. We've won several
places.
Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday was the good one. So the fixtures are a bit higher. We then had a tougher run recently. It's just disappointing we're 16th, but also you win a game and suddenly you're 9th or 8th again. So I'm not too concerned about that. I suppose the thing that has worried me is the fact that Steve McLaren realised things were going wrong and changed something. The one thing I'm slightly worried with Warburton is what we were predicted by, you know, Brentford and Forest fans, where he doesn't like to change, he sticks with it, and he's got to change something because we're on a worrying run. It's like, it's 2 goals conceded in the last 11 games. In 9 of the last 11 games, sorry. So our defence is awful.
I think I share that worry, and I don't want the one win, then you go back up to 9th, Gareth, and you're 8th, and you go, oh, we're 3 places outside the playoffs, and that, not papers over the cracks, but in the long term the defence is a worry, and if Warburton doesn't change, then there is a long term concern.
Well, I think you're talking about progression under McLaren before from the tweet, and it's like we've spent $50,000 on Liam Kelly and shopped a load of players out and got players back in like Cameron and Rangel, who are a year older, and you know they're now contracted to the club rather than proving playing for their existence. So I think, no, we probably haven't progressed so much, but why would we? He's not a magic man. He's not going to come in after 18 games and turn us into, you know, world beaters. It's going to be a work in progress, and it's about sticking to that plan, that strategy, and the man in Warburton, and seeing him through the season and beyond, probably.
Well, Gareth, firm in his defence of Warburton there, only 18 games in, as he says it. A little bit of breaking news. Carlo Ancelotti has just been sacked in charge of Napoli. Funny
get
that.
In. Let's get him in.
Get him in. Warburton out. He's already changed his mind, and quickly, Crystal Palace have taken the lead at home to Bournemouth. But this is the QPR fan show. Delighted to say we'll be talking to Nicholas Tunney next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast. No Lone Ranger tonight, because it is Julian Monaghan and Gareth Dixon at the helm, talking everything where QPR concerned in the QPR takeover. We were just talking about the Forest game and the game with Derby. We'll be looking towards the Preston game a little bit later, but delighted to say now Nicholas Tunney joins us. Nicholas, not the greatest form at the minute, if I'm being nice, if I'm being generous. What is going on at QPR at the minute?
Well, I mean, the first thing is no clean sheet this season, and that is a huge issue that we've got. You know, we're conceding goals for fun. You could tell with Joe Lumley in particular, you know, he's really lacking in confidence, and that just feeds through the rest of the team. And it's a real worry. You know, that Forest game you touched on, 4-0, I mean, you know, it didn't help with the sending off with Lee Wallace, but you know, we just look all over the place at the back. Going forward, yeah, we've got goals in the team, we look bright, inventive, but If we don't score, we're going to lose because we just don't look like keeping a clean sheet at the moment. You know, there were signs of improving against Derby. You know, it was a great free kick by Waghorn, but, given away by Luke Amos. And we looked a lot more solid. I think the formation going forward, that kind of four at the back, I think we look a lot better. We started the season with that against Stoke and 1-2-1, and I just think we look a lot more solid. But, at least we stopped the rot on Saturday, and I think that point, I think it'll stand us in good stead heading into the weekend.
And do you think Warburton will be less stubborn in a sense and get a change the team completely just to go for that clean sheet, to just get that monkey off our back?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he's going to stick with this formation for a while. I mean, I like to see Hugo and Wells up front together. But I think you've got to focus on, as you say, you've got to focus on clean sheets. And I think that back four suits us a lot more than the wing-back system that we have been playing. Okay, we look maybe more threatening with that system. But I'm glad Wolverhampton made the change. It brought Angel Rangel back in. Obviously, Todd Kane, he was playing quite well, especially at Fulham. I thought he had a good game, but defensively, Rangel's positioning is excellent, very experienced campaigner. And then I just think that it just suited us a lot more and gave Lumley a little bit more protection. But as I say, he's been lacking in confidence. You know, he's letting us a couple of poor goals lately, which are, errors by him. So in that respect, I think it was the right thing to do eventually. I mean, I don't know if it would have made a difference against Forest anyway. I thought they were very good on the night. At least we got that point and we can, hopefully build on that ahead of the Preston game.
And what would you do now, having had Bright play at Derby and played well? Does he start in the next game against Preston? Do you keep Chair?
Well, I'm a big fan of his. I think Chair's impact has decreased somewhat in recent games. I mean, he's a very good young player, but take him out of the firing line for a bit. He is only young. These young players do have their ups and downs. They're not that consistent. And I think it is the right time to bring, Samuel back in. Played very well at Derby, won the penalty. And I think he's got that something that a lot of our players got. He's a really direct, pacey player, take on a man, beat them, and works very hard down that right. And I think, he cemented his place certainly for Saturday's game, hopefully. Be interesting to see. Obviously, Preston aren't in great form at the moment, but, if you're going to play one up top, Hugill is probably better equipped with that role than Wells. He can hold it up a bit better. But I just think the whole, the formation and the side we had against Derby is a little bit more solid. Bringing Jeff Cameron back in as well helped. But I'd like to see a face handle given a run. I thought he started the season pretty well. I'm a fan. I've always been impressed by him, and hopefully he can kick on now.
Yeah, and obviously there's been some rumours floating around this week about Warburton being a bit under pressure, and obviously with Ainsworth top in the division below, 5 points clear, you've got some views on Ainsworth. What's your take? Is Warburton's job really on the line?
No way. I can't. It should not even be speculated. He can only work with what he's got. He might be in a similar position as we were last season. We were on a bad run, but he's sorted in terms of the attacking setup. He's sorted that out. I think we look, Eze, obviously, we speak about him a lot, what a player he is. Wells and Hugill proven its level. They've got a bundle of goals between them. I think we're fourth top scorers in the league or third, which is brilliant. And we look threatening. We pass the ball with pace. When we're on top of our game, we're tough to live with. But it is the defensive side which needs work. But he can only work with what he's got. I thought he did brilliantly in the summer, getting rid of a lot of players, high earners, and bringing in some. Those two loans of Wells and Hugill, great bits of business. He's given these young players a chance. I think Johan Barbeau, I know he's injured at the moment, I really like him. I think he's a good defender. And obviously, trust the like of Lee Wallace, who I think has done well since he's come back from injury. So, he can only work with what he's got. And I mean, January, I think you might see a few more players come in. But I'm really impressed with Warburton. Every team goes through a bad run. Hopefully, ours is done with, certainly for now. I mean, Ainsworth is a brilliant manager. He's done wonders at Wickham, QPR legend. But let's talk about him in 3 years' time, not in 3 weeks' time. I think Warburton is the right man for the job, absolutely.
And what is the minimum that he has to achieve this season then for QPR I suppose QPR fans really to give him get off his back and give him a bit more time. What does Warburton have to do to really solidify his position as QPR manager?
Just stay up. I think, you know, fans were worried that we were going to have a relegation battle, and you know, if we beat Brentford the other week on that Monday night game, we'd have been second. So I think the expectation there was, because we started the season so well, have gone up, understandably, but you need to put it into context a little bit. You know, there's been a huge overhaul in the squad. You know, but overall, this has been a really entertaining season for the fans. You know, I know McLaren had a good run kind of just before Christmas last year, but the football was a little, was more pedestrian. It was a bit slower, wasn't as entertaining. This is, you know, you pay your money and, you know, to be entertained in football. And, you know, Warburton, he goes for it, and that's what I really like about him. I think if we can finish anything, you know, above our, you know, finish last season or try and even sneak into the top half, I think that'd be a great season. Then we can build further for next season and maybe look at, you know, an outside bet for the playoffs for next season. But this season, you know, it, just a mid-table finish, you know, flirt with the playoffs perhaps would be great. But, you know, I think what he's doing now is brilliant, and hopefully that defence can get sorted, because if we keep clean sheets, generally we do score. So hopefully we can pick up a few more points before Christmas.
Nicholas, you mentioned that defence, and you mentioned that he should be given time. You know, he can only work with the squad that he has there. But it's not just the squad that he has at QPR currently, because this is a label that Warburton has had at the clubs he has managed. You know, Forest last week saying, oh, we've been through this stage. We know what to predict in games. You know, the whole plan A, plan B is plan A harder, and is always leak goals, and he's very stubborn in his way there. It's not just the squad, though. It is a worry that the leaky goals have followed him wherever he's gone, though, a little bit as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point with that. I mean, you know, you've seen, you know, Forest fans say similar, but I'd like to think that the Derby game was a plan B. I think, as I say, he started the season with four at the back, then installed the wing-back system, but I think, hopefully, that Derby game was a plan B. You know, he had Cameron, he had two sitting in front of the back four. Now, that says to me that he really, you know, wanted to shore up shop and ensure that we would get at least a point from that game. You know, as I say, the only goal we conceded was a fantastic free kick that not many keepers would have saved. You know, if we hadn't given away that free kick, we might be celebrating 3 points, 1-0 win, who knows. But I'd like to think that is, you know, an improvement defensively. I'd like to think he'd stick with that system again. He's you know, on the training ground this week, working on towards that clean sheet. You know, maybe he should have done this a few weeks ago and realised that, and we're leaking goals here, you know, left, right and centre. Maybe he should have shut up shop. Potentially after that Brentford game, perhaps, and looked at it and gone, right, OK, we need to different change of plan here. But, you know, give him credit. You know, that worked on Saturday. Now we're at home this Saturday, and maybe he might be a little more attacking. Maybe he might look to that wing-back system again, but hopefully that point can give the team some confidence.
Yeah, and obviously we've got Preston. They are a massive bogey team for us, if you look over the last few years. The shithousery that they bring with them. the, you know, delaying tactics that we've tried to adopt over the last few weeks. What do you think? What are our tactics for them on Saturday?
Well, I think, you know, you can't get sucked into their games as such, if you like. You know, they're master of the dark arts, so to speak. They know how to play. They've got a way of playing, and they're very effective at it. You know, they have had a bit of a rocky run in you know, recent weeks, so a bit unlucky on Monday, whether that was a penalty or not, I'm not sure, but got given against them, and you know, but they've got some good players at this level. You know, I think a key battle on Saturday will be Eze against Ben Pearson. You know, he's a bit of a wind-up merchant. He's a very, very good footballer, and he'll, you know, it'll be a good battle for Eze on Saturday. But they've just got to I think QPR are going to start on the front foot if they can. An early goal, you know, against, you know, either way, both sides lacking in a bit of confidence. I haven't had one in a while. So it would be nice to start on the front foot, get that early goal and put Preston under pressure. As you said, they have been a bogey team. I can't remember the last time we beat them. But, you know, hopefully we can get off to a good start Saturday. That's really important.
Nicholas, really appreciate you giving us the time this evening coming on the QPR Fan Show. Definitely want to get you on at a later date. Always good to chat to you. Nicholas Tunney there, QPR fan, giving us his insight into Mark Warburton and the side so far. We do look to that Preston game next. We're going to be joined by Dan from the Finney podcast. But just quickly, it is full time at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace got the 3 points there. Wins back to back for them, beating Burnley, then Bournemouth City, and our 2-0 up, beating Burnley at Turf Moor. But we do speak to Dan from the Finney podcast next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a range of things podcast. As always, it's crazy, it's nuts, they take over. It is the crazy train, it is Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan. We were just speaking to Nicholas Tunney there and his insight into the season, saying Warburton isn't on that hot seat, Ainsworth won't be arriving anytime soon. Talking about the disappointing results against Forest, but then getting that point up at Pride Park facing Derby. Now it is Preston on the weekend. Brilliant form, brilliant start they made to the Championship, but then they haven't won in three. Bit of a blip there for them. What do they make of that? Delighted to say Dan from the Finney podcast is joining us now. Dan, QPR can't buy a win at the minute, but neither can Preston. So what do you make of this one?
No, well, it's definitely going to be an interesting game. They usually are when we come down to London, to be fair. I would say you've got what we at From the Finney regard as the best striker in the league in Jordan Hugill. Obviously, we're all big fans. Not looking forward to coming up against him too much, nor are we looking forward to coming up against Naki Wells, actually, who has a bit of a habit of scoring against us. So I'm going to expect quite a high-scoring game, because you guys can't seem to keep a clean sheet, can you?
Not yet, but there's always a first. Watched the game last night. Lot of pressure. I thought you were a little bit unlucky last night. Obviously a definite penalty. But what is there going to be a hangover from that? And obviously injuries are telling as well at the time. Or is Alex Neil going to be able to get a better strength squad out there?
We're usually a team that bounces back from disappointing results. So this is the first time this season we've lost more than one in a row. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how we react. The injuries, particularly in defence, obviously we had a fully makeshift back four last night, which didn't help playing against the league leaders. But, I don't think we'll be keeping a clean sheet against you, especially with Hugill and Wells up top for you. So it should definitely be an interesting one scoreline-wise.
So you've said you're a big fan of Hugill. I'm interested on that one, because he has got a lot of goals, but he's also missed a bag full of sitters for us. Did he used to do that at Preston as well?
Yeah, I think that's something that has plagued his career somewhat. There was actually a bit of divide in Preston fans right up until the moment that he signed for West Ham. Some Preston fans didn't seem to think he should even be starting for us with the amount of chances he was missing. And then there's those of us that absolutely adore him. And I think especially the type of player that he is, he'll bully the centre halves, he'll win knockdowns, layoffs. Interacts with players around him very well. I think he's worth having in the team, even if he is missing the odd chance. I mean, was it your game against Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was, where he missed a sitter, but then he went on to score two?
I think it's Wigan, where he missed one from 1 yard and managed to put it over the bar. He may have missed a Sheffield Wednesday too, because I think he misses in most games.
No, he scored two at Wednesday,
the one against Wigan was, I don't know how he missed that one.
That one was the one that went viral, wasn't it?
It was a little bit. I think he's gone viral a couple of times. His blowing bubbles meme stuff as well was quite interesting. Dan, from our perspective, Preston are a bit of a bogey side for us. We can't remember the last win. It probably wasn't that long ago. But do you see QPR as a bit of a soft touch and had some good memories against us?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say we look forward to playing you any more than we look forward to playing teams like Bristol City, or we seem to beat that sort of team. Certainly going down there, we've got good form, especially since we came back up to the Championship. I think we've won three out of our five visits down there. Last year, obviously, we absolutely hammered you just after the January window when we were having a little bit of an upturn. So, yeah, it's somewhere that I think we're quite positive about the prospect of a result, but obviously with the form that we're in, it could go either way.
Dan, obviously, you know, at the minute QPR, they're mentioning the form they're on and the job that Mark Warburton is doing. And it's not really a hot seat, but, you know, we're saying they can't obviously continue like this. There's been a few whispers. What are you making of the job that Alex Neil is doing now at Preston?
Generally, he's been superb for us. I mean, to go from a manager like Simon Grayson, who, I mean, with the greatest of respects to him, he did so much for us, but he was very... very negative in the way that he played football, especially when we got up to the Championship and we were looking to be more difficult to beat than anything else. Alex Neil sort of brought this attacking flair to the side. Obviously, last night on the telly, you wouldn't have seen it very much because it was a very different approach. But, yeah, Alex Neil's had such a great impact. He's built this this fairly young, very strong squad with the core of Pearson and Ben Davis and players like that. Ben Davis... might be out, actually, unfortunately. Well, unfortunately for us, but... he's doing a great job.
But I was just looking at the results of you saying that you don't see us as being a soft touch. We've beaten you once in the last 10 matches and lost the last six. We've lost the last six in a row. So I think you should be...
Have we scored a goal?
I don't think we've kept a clean sheet. I can tell you that much if we've lost six. So I think it's going to be a tough game for us. We've got a hoodoo to get over here this weekend. But, you know, obviously the thing that people have been commenting about that's been great about Preston is that you've spent very little and got high as second. There was one point that we were nearly up there too, having only spent 50 grand. So what's been Preston's secret? What's the... You know, the key to the performances in the team that means you haven't been spending a lot of money but still being up there.
I think there's a few varying theories. Obviously, we've got the management of Alex Neil has been a massive benefit to the team that we've built. Also, the team that we've built is quite a set of quite young, hungry players who are eager to prove themselves. We've seen obviously Jordan Hugo before he's been loaned out to you. He went to the Premier League. Callum Robinson is now playing in the Premier League with Sheffield United. We've got a lot of players similar to that who definitely have their futures at a higher level, and I think their hunger to prove themselves is sort of driving the club forward at the moment in lieu of any massive expenditure on sort of household names, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I completely agree, though. Preston, they're still in those playoff places, though, even though they have lost the last few games. Dan, I have to put you on the spot. What is your score prediction?
I'll go for as a Preston fan, I'll back the boys. I'll predict a 3-2 win.
Ooh, 3-2.
Hugo and Wells will score against us.
Yeah, more goals again for QPR. Again, conceding two in a game. Dan, real pleasure to have you on. Dan from the Finney podcast there saying Preston getting back on form 3-2. I have to get your two predictions. Is Dan correct, Gareth?
Well, I think the run of form that Julian just dug out, a six in a row defeat. The thing that worried me from a football perspective and throw the form guide out the window was watching them press West Brom last night.
They're a good side, Preston.
I think they are, and I think they've been hampered by injuries as well. And they do everything that, Julian might use another term for it, but they do all the dark arts of the game very, very well.
He might use some...
You're nervous there.
Yeah, I am. I'm just hovering. Carry on.
So those sort of things. And how they press, I think we might struggle with that intensity of press because they did it very well to West Brom, who technically probably the best side in the league on the ball. So for us, we haven't got that level of technical ability on the ball. So if they're going to go and run around and really, really get in our faces for those first 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we're going to have to weather that storm. And we're going to have to come out of it the other side because, it's going to be difficult for us to do that. And having the character and the mentality, I feel that Alex Neil, you spoke about him, he's the sort of guy that will make your team tough to beat. And the people like Ben Pearson, I think Dan said he might be out, which would be great for us because he's exactly the type of player QPR don't want to play against.
Were they a high-pressing team when you watched them?
They pressed all over the pitch.
Yeah, which we're not good when teams do that to us.
They pressed all the way down to the keeper, and it was an intense press. They did it in twos and threes.
Right, so they did it with energy. At the back coming.
Yeah, so it was trouble. It looked like trouble for us.
Well, your score prediction is?
Put me on the spot with that one.
Yeah, because you've never done this show before. You didn't know that
that was
coming.
We don't do it at the end. Is it over? Yeah. All right, thank God for that. Well, sweet mercy. Sweet mercy.
Oh, unbelievable.
0-0. 0-0. What's wrong with that?
No chance.
What's wrong with that?
Exactly. No chance.
Don't go with the grain. Don't follow the crowd.
Yeah, but sometimes they're right. No, it's not necessarily.
Like a sheep, Hawkins.
Yeah. QPR have conceded 2 goals, 10 games out of the last 11. But yeah, 0-0. Yeah, and QPR score goals as well.
Well, it's all predictable. Millionaires, won't we?
Yeah,
it'd be boring.
Yeah, I can't wait for a 0-0 on the way. It's definitely going to be 0-0 now. And I won't hear the end of it on Tuesday. Julian, what are you saying?
2-0
to who?
To them.
Oh,
that's 0-2 in QPR language, please. Yeah.
I prefer the 0-0.
0-0, there you go.
Well, somewhere it isn't 0-0. Man City are beating Burnley 3-0 this time. Rodri, that game is all but done. City 3 goals to the good there. We are talking a little bit more about all of QPR next. A little bit of housekeeping for us.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a range of things podcast, Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan. Well, we've had a packed show once again, talking to Nicholas Tunney and Dan from the Finney podcast, previewing that Preston game whilst we looked at the Derby and Forest results. Not the best there. Hoping for a turn, an upturn in form, shall I say, on the weekend against Preston. Now, though, there has been big news in QPR this week, because obviously it was the third round draw in the FA Cup. Both of you were like, big news? What big news at our club? It was the third round draw of the FA Cup. You got Swansea. Who did you want before, and what did you make of that draw, Gareth?
Tottenham away, obviously. Why?
Why?
Because I like
you want to go
North
to the
London.
New ground. You want to go
Thank
to the
you,
new
yeah.
ground.
You want to go to a new ground?
Yeah, of course. Why not? We ain't going to go there any time in the league soon, are we? So
why?
Oh, why? Why? Why not? Because, yeah, that's it's not really exciting for us. We've got the worst FA Cup record in the country, so we know we're probably going to lose. Swansea at home's not exactly magical and exciting for us. But I hope they go for it. I always think, like, why don't they just play the first team squad if you look like staying up? It's not like we're in the Premier League and...
Well, we did it last year and it worked, right?
Not really.
We didn't do it in the League Cup and he got a load of flack, so then we did it in the FA Cup.
Otte scored in the FA Cup against Leeds, remember? And he had Ingram in goal.
He still, yeah, that's true. Thanks. But then against, but he still played a strong enough team.
Yeah, it's like a lager top, not a shandy.
And then Watford was, and Portsmouth were pretty much.
Yeah,
the
but
once
you get through on telly and a bit of money, it's good money in the FA Cup. So yeah,
great money. Where do you both stand on the FA Cup then? Do you want, you know, obviously.
Well, what else is there for us to play for, to be quite frank?
Shepherd's Bush 5-a-side.
I mean, we're not going up, we're not going down. And it's about next season and building and, you know.
Could go down.
We could, of course. We still can make the playoffs as well, if you could be that facetious. But,
if my auntie had known, I'd do that one.
But at the end of the day, it's like, give us a cup run. We enjoyed it last season. It was good.
It was
fun. We nearly
love
beat
a cup run.
It was fun.
If Tony had just curled his little toe a bit, we might have got
something else then.
Please save me. I'm counting the seconds till it ends. I can't control them. It's just anything can happen. Genuinely, a dump button is not good enough.
Curly toes.
Julian, what did you make of the draw with Swansea then?
That's pretty insipid. You know, it's an uninteresting tie for both teams.
We'll move on.
I'm sure they weren't that impressed with having to come up to us again. But they won. They beat us already this season. Mm. They'll come quite confident. We probably will put out a weakened team, and we often go down.
Why will he put out a weakened team? Yeah, based on what you said, if there's nothing else to play for, it's a new man now. Will Warburton play a weakened team? What's his thoughts on it? Yeah,
he might not. I mean, you know, we talk about Pugh playing his first game, and I think that he was good to play that game as well. So I think he might get a chance. And there's still players that are still fighting for positions in there. Kane's come in, hasn't set the world alight. So there's players still trying to prove themselves at the club, not just for their career at the club, but their career long term anyway, because Kane's come with a big reputation. Yeah. And, you know, there's the likes of Pugh and Cameron and even Rangel. They're getting to the elder statesmen of the career and at the club, not just for what they do on the pitch, but the mentoring and the training stuff. So it's an opportunity for them, probably the last time around, for especially Rangel and Cameron in the cup. So if they get on the pitch, then they make a go. If they're young lads coming through, then like Otte last year against Leeds, they want to prove themselves. So yeah, it's an opportunity, isn't it? Julian just doesn't like the Welsh, so
Welsh?
You don't like the Welsh?
No, we can't think of which Welsh players we got. Swansea.
No, Swansea, yeah. Like it's a club in Wales. Yeah, but you don't like the Welsh. So.
Gary just creates his own agendas, Gareth. Yeah. Yeah. He gets upset. This is the time of the studio, in the time of the show when Barbara normally tweets in and he loses his head. She hasn't yet, but Bad, we're waiting. You still got 12 minutes again. To tweet in.
It's like back at school.
Ooh. Talking of Welsh, yeah.
Barbara's not Welsh, is she?
No, Welsh must be.
Irish.
Welsh, Irish.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, talking. Let's talk about Mark Hughes, because obviously the manager. Nigerian merry-go-round is hot at the minute. That's... There's no way that Watford or Everton are interested in Mark Hughes. Surely not.
Well, if they want a more miserable season than they've already had...
Hi, Gareth.
Then that's what you want. But as Gareth says, I don't like the Welsh, so... You know.
He doesn't like the... Wasn't Hughes supposed to get the Reading job before Bowen gave it to himself?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Classic.
He won't go, he won't I get love Everton. That, by the way. He won't get Everton. No
he
chance.
Might get Watford.
He might get Watford.
He shouldn't get another Premiership
Elton John might never. Get Watford.
After what he did with Southampton and Stoke, he shouldn't.
He's never been relegated, though, so why would he not get Watford?
He got relegated twice nearly
he
in
didn't.
One season.
Well, he's never been relegated. Did. He's nearly left before did. The end. Yeah. Fact.
He would have if he wouldn't have been fired. So it's a bit of a redundant stat, isn't it?
Not really. He hasn't been he hasn't relegated a team.
Southampton.
Nearly. Well, that's like Southampton.
Let's keep going. How long we got?
You haven't taken Megan Fox out. I haven't had the chance, so it's just redundant, isn't it?
How do you know that? How do you know that?
What, that I haven't taken her out?
Oh, you take it? Oh, I know you ain't.
Yeah, I know, definitely know you ain't, 100%. I don't know how we've gotten to Megan Fox. Talking of managers, Mark Hughes, let's talk about Harry Redknapp, because potentially another name that's been linked with Joe Julian.
With Arsenal.
No chance, zero. Yeah. Don't be so stupid.
Oh, it could be funny, couldn't
he's a gooner. He's an Arsenal fan.
Who?
Harry Redknapp.
Is he now?
No, it's Stepney.
He's an Arsenal fan, I promise you.
How do you know that?
Harry Redknapp is an Arsenal fan, I promise you.
So he's been a secret agent at West Ham.
I've always wanted to
really
manage Arsenal.
No, because I think it's, you know, obviously you support whoever you do when you're young, you're professional, you go to these clubs. He was at West Ham for years, he was at QPR, he was at Spurs. He is an Arsenal fan, 100%.
Oh, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Is his daughter Megan Fox?
No, unfortunately not. But he would never get the Arsenal job. He's not in the running.
He's not.
Let's
he's not really.
Is Poch going to end up there? That's the one that would be funny.
Potentially. I know Mike, who produces the show, would love him at Arsenal. I can't see it myself. I'm not quite sure why.
I know Gav's not here, but can we stick to QPR, please?
Yeah, I think you're completely right. Thanks. No Spurs talk. We just were mentioning Harry Redknapp. So much housekeeping. What else is there, Gareth?
No, not a lot. Let's talk about something else. No, let me talk about the under-23s. Let me do that for a little minute.
Yeah, get a bit serious.
Yeah, no, I'll get a little bit serious.
Can we get a bed on?
Yeah. No, because Chair played for the under-23s against Colchester the other day, and he made a great pass for Malacca. It was really interesting that he actually went in. He looked like he needed a rest. Then he played for the 23s. Malacca played and scored, who's been much maligned and hasn't had much pitch time, scored.
Did he get injured?
Got injured, yeah. So it's a bit of an interesting one, but I think it was a bit interesting one about Chair, why he played the other day.
Why did he play?
I don't know. Wanted to beat Colchester. It's a big game, I suppose. I don't know, in the 23s. It's just weird. A bit of a strange one, really. It's not like he needed minutes on the pitch, but it was a weird one. But he was the best player in the park, so.
Well, maybe that's it. If you've lost a bit of form,
bit
you
of confidence,
go back.
A bit of confidence, yeah.
There you go.
Do you get confidence from dropping Dano to the under-23s, you know, and then bossing it? What?
I suppose you
depends,
do, don't
depends
you?
How you handle it. Depends how the manager handles the conversation. Yeah, if he says you're crap out of the team, get down there. That's not going to help your confidence. But if it's go and
could have been his own suggestion.
Chair reminds me of Easy in a way, the fact that they both went to League Two, they both ripped it up, they were too good for that league, then came back, and Easy had a really tough season last year, I felt, and he needed a rest and he didn't get a rest. Chair's done likewise and now has had a rest and gone into 23. So I think there's definitely a player in Nidia's Chair. He's definitely in Championship standard at the moment, but it was just a bit of a strange one that he played midweek and, you know, Malacca's played and got injured. What happens if that happens to Chair as well? So a bit of an interesting one. But there is some quality in that 23s, but it's good to see some of the lads go out on loan. Another one's just gone out on loan, Banzai McNulty, who's, they're talking highly of, and Batachi as well. So, yeah, it's that's probably the biggest news. And the biggest news of that game, kept a clean sheet.
Hey, maybe why don't they start more of those players?
You didn't mention any defenders there, did you?
I don't know any defenders.
He's not done his own work.
Barnes is in goal. John Barnes in goal. They signed from Colchester.
Yeah.
We were talking about getting. We haven't spoken about Lumley and keepers.
Yeah.
Which
we can't
Forest
speak about
game.
Every week.
What I will say about the Lumley. No, please. Let's talk about.
Didn't make any mistakes on Saturday.
Warburton playing keepers. Let's talk about something else. You go.
Don't even get me started. Do not get me started. I can't even go
on the Lumley. On the Lumley one, though, the dart at Derby, QPR fans did support him.
Yeah, should do.
At the end
he
of the game.
Well. He made a good save.
They clapped him. Well, but
he had one good save.
I think that, yeah, no, he played well, but I think that he's, you know, he's under pressure.
Yeah, yeah, in the case of Lumley, where do you stand on it now, Julian? You know, we haven't spoke to you in a while, but
I didn't see a lot of in Kelly to say Kelly's better, and Kelly's short, which worries me. I think Lumley
shortest.
No, but I just think when you're a goalkeeper, height and presence is important. He has made some mistakes, but most of those, not against Forest, but most of them have come from the pressure of having to play with his feet. And I think sometimes you just got to boot it out. Forget it. Just if you're under pressure, just get rid of it. Don't think too much. And he'd probably have to say to the manager occasionally, I'm going to do that and mix it up. We don't always have to play out the back. Play out of the back 80% of the time. Kick it out sometimes.
Is that Warburton then saying, look, this is our one?
Assume so. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened to Ingram under McLaren, which we mentioned earlier, where we lost 7-1 at West Brom and the fella just couldn't play out of his feet, you know, and he's not that sort of keeper. He was great shot stopper, League One, League Two, but if you can't play with your feet, if you're not being coached to do it, especially as a keeper, yeah, you can't just turn that on. You can't then start getting, you know, because it's quite difficult when you see the Alissons and the Edisons as well. Do you know, that is an art. That is a, you know, they've worked
and that is rare as well. They are rare.
They are rare, but it's now the modern game. And if you want to play in this style, I agree with Julian as well. You know, you play to your strength sometimes, but you mix it up. I mean, sometimes where Lumley's tried to play when he shouldn't have played, he should have just launched it. It's the league you're in, you know. You're not a Barcelona, you're not a Man City. What's the worst that's going to happen? As long as you've got someone like Hugel up there, it might stick, you know, but at least you'll get out. Sometimes we've played and not conceded where we just haven't got out, and sometimes we've played and conceded terrible goals. Your goals are just not at the standard of Championship defenders and footballers, and I think that's where the kind of the agitated QPR fans getting in there a little bit, saying it's not good enough.
Yeah, make the other team think about it, because at the moment the other team comes going, well, we just know they're going to play out the back and they'll just press them and eventually they'll make a mistake.
Yeah.
If you mix it up a bit, they've got to be thinking, oh, well, they might not always do that.
Yeah, and sorry to talk about the Welsh again, because I know you don't like them, but when we out-fought and out-thought...
He picked some people. Last week he said that our history are boring. And
when we beat Swansea at home 3-0 under Mark Hughes, another Welshman, we pressed them. We just pinned them back in and they didn't know what to do. And I can't remember if it was De Vries in goal that day for them or another keeper, or Vroom, I think it was De Vries, who was exceptional with the ball at his feet. He could ping. And they just couldn't get out because we pressed and hurried and got them in there and we were 3-0 up and they didn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do, Julian.
Don't know what to do. And we won't know what to do on Saturday when Preston are at us at the first minute. So they better be up for this. Because QPR need a win.
Yeah.
Next six games, this is the start of it. They are winnable games. They are winnable. Reading away, Charlton at home, you know, Preston at home. They're winnable. Barnsley away. They are winnable games.
This is probably the toughest one.
Hull at home.
Yeah, I agree. But I think this was the last of the like five or six I thought we had that were tough.
Yeah, but it's home,
and
isn't
then we
it?
Move so... in. December looks a lot easier.
Well, the games come thick and fast in December.
Presents.
The next six games, they're all winnable for QPR, but you still have to go out and win them. You have to beat the team that's in front of you in the very next game. This has been the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with the Ranger Things podcast, Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan, as it is every Tuesday night, 9 to 10, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.